superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Rich Eisen Show Basketball Podcast. We are here on a Wednesday, June 15th, on the eve of Game 6 of the NBA Finals in Boston. The Golden State Warriors lead 3-2 after pulling it out Monday night. I'm with the fellas. Adam, TJ, what's up, guys?
What's going on?
Yo, what it do, baby?
You know, I've calmed down. It's been 2 days.
You were a little heated.
Since game five, I've calmed myself down a little bit, and I'm just kind of ready for this season to be over. I was thinking about this just a minute ago. Would you rather just not make the playoffs at all than be this close just to watch your team give it away? Like, what scenario would you rather be in?
As a player or a fan?
I guess as just a fan. Like, I mean, fans probably take this stuff way more harder than the players.
Yes, we do.
Unless you're Jerry West. It just seems like the fans are just, you know, kind of live and die game to game and stuff more than actual members of the team or members of the organization. And I was just thinking about this a second ago. Like, would I rather it been, you know, would I rather be a Pelican? Not Pelican's not even a good example. Like a Magic fan to just not even have a chance? Or would I rather feel like this, like so close, and I can see which way it's going, just knowing that it feels like Boston is giving away the title?
But Brockman, this season is unexpected for your team. You didn't even expect to be here, so yeah. This is a win either way.
I guess
there is nothing about this.
We're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, there's nothing about this that should upset you because your team was in purgatory at the midseason mark. So, you know, but then Adam, you got to flip it like this. They got it back on track to the point where look at who they beat to get to this point. So yeah. Now you kind of have to. If I'm just playing devil's advocate, yeah. If you're a Celtic fan, you delete that first half of the season and you look what you've accomplished in this last third of the season and go, yeah, why shouldn't we be here?
Yeah, they've been the best team in the NBA since, I don't know, late January, and they beat, you know, a team that everyone thought was going to win the title. I guess when the season started, a lot of us picked it. They were
You beat two teams that everyone thought was going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about Brooklyn in terms of they were the betting favorite really all year. With Kyrie and Kevin Durant and Steve Nash and everybody, and then.
But our thing all year was like, look.
Milwaukee, right, yeah. Right. We were kind of high on the Bucks all year on this show. You know, we love Giannis, and so to get through that in seven games, and then a team that went to the finals last year, Miami, and now to be so close, have the advantage, you got home court, and, you know, like I said, game four felt like they just gave away at home, and then even in game five, you know, they had a lead for a second, but I don't know.
I feel like you're giving up too fast, Brockman.
I do feel that way. I feel that I'm kind of, I just, you know, the frustrations that kind of plagued the team in the beginning half of the season or have kind of been coming out the last two games. And so, yes, in a weird way, it does feel like I'm kind of giving up as a fan, even though, you know, I'll still watch and root and I still think they can do it. Obviously, they have it inside of them. I don't know, just the end of that game the other night, I got really frustrated. I didn't watch the end of it. I shut it off with about 4 minutes to go. And I didn't even know what the final score was until yesterday morning. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of in the dumps. I guess I need talked out of it.
Yeah, you have to think of it like this. You have game six at home. The crowd's going to be crazy. There's going to be a lot of momentum for the team. You just have to think of it as one game. You get game six at home. Game seven, anything happens. Yeah. So you just have to think of it like that. I absolutely think the Warriors are still going to win the series, but you just never know.
You think they're going to win game six?
No, I think the Warriors are going to win in game seven. I think the Celtics are going to win this next game.
I mean, I obviously have no confidence. So what gives you the confidence to think that they're going to come out with a win? I mean, we had Doris Burke on the show earlier today, and she said the same thing. I don't know. I just don't see it right now. Like, something's wrong with Jason Tatum. Like, he's got to be injured. Like, there's really no other explanation for how poorly he's playing when we really saw him take the leap this year and make it in the playoffs too. TJ did it against Brooklyn. He had that amazing game, a series against Milwaukee. And then ever since game three against Miami, where he kind of hurt his shoulder, it's just like, it just seems something is off.
Yeah, something's definitely off. But again, you know, Tatum did have 27 and 10 last game. I think the biggest problem with the Celtics, and this was called by, I forget what analyst said this at the I think after game two. Turnovers are one thing, right? You're going to have turnovers.
Brian Windhorst.
Yeah, it was Wendy. Yeah. You're going to have turnovers. But there are turnovers, and then there are bad turnovers. The Celtics seem to lead the NBA in bad turnovers. Like, you guys had 18 turnovers last game. I think let me just double check. Yeah, Warriors had six. Yeah. You lost by 10 points.
They also missed 10 free throws.
Missed 10. That was my next point. Jeez. So the fact of the matter is, Chris, you know, we talked about the otherworldly game that Steph had in four, right? Mm-hmm. And I said to you, it took a performance of a lifetime, of the ages, of something that's being written down in the NBA history books by Steph Curry to get the Warriors the win in that game. And my thought was, how many more of those does Steph have? Probably, I don't know, to have a game like that, like, it's probably not going to happen again. So I was like, I'd like your chances, because unless someone else steps up really big for the Warriors, and the Celtics should win. What happened was, you guys, horrible turnovers, and Andrew Wiggins stepped up.
And Steph was terrible. That's for 22, 0 for 9.
And that, you know, I didn't want to rub this in because I've kind of been there, but the fact of the matter is, if you're going to tell me that you have a game, an NBA championship game, and your defense is so good and his luck is so weird that Steph Curry, okay, not Seth Curry, not Chef Curry, not Mark Curry, not Craig Curry, who went to Altoona. He was really good in the 80s.
Not Eddie Curry.
You know, not Katina Curry, who was my cousin, and she did ball in Altoona for our girls' team. But Steph Curry, if you're going to tell me that Steph Curry is not going to make a three-point shot the entire game, and I'm going to tell you, you had better, whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, you better win that game.
They were 9 of 40 from 3 of the Warriors. Just brutal.
Yeah, and if
just brutal.
That's a game you cannot lose, right? Because how many times is Steph going to go a whole game and not hit a three? Well, 233, something like that. So it was bad. But then again, as I told you, when Golden State made the trade for Wiggins, I was like, this guy, no matter what you think he didn't accomplish for the T-Wolves, this is still the number one pick in his class. Yeah. This guy can still play basketball. This guy's still big and strong and athletic, and he doesn't have to be number one on the call sheet. So, and I think that's what happened. Andrew Wiggins stepped up.
He's a perfect fit for that team. Yeah. Like I've said before, I've always seen him as the Harrison Barnes, but an upgraded version of this current Golden State team.
Like I said, he doesn't have to be number one on the call sheet.
That's perfect.
Perfect for them. That's terrifying for somebody else that's got to play.
Exactly. But for them, like with Minnesota, maybe he just wasn't meant to be a number one guy.
Yeah.
That's just not his role. But as a number three or four guy, he's one of the best three or four guys there are for that. So that was a great pickup for Golden State. But what I want to talk about is really the key, I think, in the last game, a couple of keys. One of them was Jaylen Brown. He was terrible.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his stats. He was 5 for 18, and he had 5 turnovers. And so the turnovers have been an issue with Jaylen Brown all playoffs. He kind of got it together, I think, in the earlier games of the finals. But if he plays even decent in the last game, they probably win that game. So the fact that Jaylen Brown, who we talked about last week at this point,
awesome.
We said he was the MVP of the finals. Remember that? Yeah. Last week at this time.
When they were up 2-1.
And look how much things have changed in a week. Yeah. So he needs to have a big bounce back game, score 25 or 30 points for Boston to win game six.
Also, he needs to get off to a hot start. The games in this entire playoffs where Boston has really played well, gotten off to a nice, comfortable lead and kind of, I'm not going to say cruise to victory, but, you know, won kind of convincingly. He had a great start. He had a great first quarter. He had a great first half. And then that allowed Tatum and Smart and Horford and everyone else to kind of play a little more freely. But, I totally agree with you. We were talking about him for finals MVP, you know, heading into game three a week ago. A game we all kind of thought Boston was going to win, and they did. And, it's just super frustrating. You know, Peyton Pritchard has had a decent playoff run. He only played 5 minutes. Grant Williams played 16 minutes. He was minus 18. Ugh.
Williams, Horford.
Derek White did nothing.
Derek White had 21, played 21 minutes, 0-for-4. Like, where was the Derek White that we've seen over the last couple of weeks? Making shots, getting to the basket, getting to the foul line, playing good D. And I think that really contributed too.
But that's why I have a feeling that the home court advantage, being on that home crowd, with that home crowd, that'll help the role players those guys.
The Pritchard and the White. Yeah. I mean, those guys have to step up we've seen Peyton Pritchard hit numerous threes throughout this entire playoffs.
Business he has making, and he's knocking
maybe not this final series, but throughout the playoffs, this guy stepped up. White has stepped up in this series. Those are, you hit the nail on the head, Adam. Those are the type of guys who can, will, and better thrive at home, because if they don't, because those guys are kind of like your keys, right? You know what you're going to get out of Tatum, Smart, Brown, Horford. You need one of those guys, those bench guys, to step up and have one of those legendary Boston games where, you know, Jerry Seasting all of a sudden hits for 20 out of, you know, because Larry Bird's shots aren't falling, or, you know, my man Leon Poe, you know, busy when Garnett has an off game. You're going to need someone like a Pritchard or a White. And I don't mean just have like a decent game. I'm talking, you're going to need like a 4-5 3-pointer, big shot,
18 points, or
get
something.
The blow the roof off the place type performance. And I don't see why it couldn't happen. We've seen each of them do it in this playoff. So,
it's
possible.
Just, the great thing is like there's literally no tomorrow for Boston. Yeah. Like it's lose and it's season's over. And you're going to watch a team celebrate on your home court and another trophy, a fourth championship, probably an MVP for Steph Curry. We talked about this on the big show, too. I wonder what you guys think about this. Do you think, win or lose, Steph Curry is the finals MVP?
No.
No.
You can't.
My personal belief is you cannot win the finals MVP if your team does not win the series.
Yeah, if LeBron didn't win, then what was that, 16 or 15?
Yeah, 15.
15, I think.
When Iguodala won, but LeBron averaged 38 and like 9-7.
Yeah,
like,
LeBron was stupid in that series.
If he's not winning, then no. You should probably be able to hoist the trophy in order to receive
it. Yeah, it'd be kind of weird. I'm just wondering, so like if Boston does come back, who is finals MVP right now for them? Is it Tatum?
I think it comes down to these next two games.
Yeah.
I can't really say right now.
Yeah, that would be... That balance of power would be shifted depending upon you winning these two games and then who stands out. Remember, game one, Al Horford was series MVP. It wasn't Brown. It was, Al Horford. And then Al really hasn't, but we didn't expect. We knew that was kind of like.
He kind of used it all up.
It was a bonus.
In the beginning, it was kind of a bonus.
It was like, shoot your load. He did. It got you the big win, and that was necessary for you.
It's so interesting how it seems like each game has come down to one specific quarter. Right?
And it's usually the third, and it's usually bad for you in the third. Except for this
last
game.
The thing
game.
Is, except in game five, the third quarter was the good Celtics quarter. They were down 12, and then suddenly they were up 4, and then went silent in the fourth quarter. And that's kind of what happened in game 4. They had a real bad last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. In game 2, the Golden State win.
The pool
thing,
though,
quarter
right?
was huge for Golden State. Pool hit another big half-court shot.
That was a momentum changer right there. That was just, I thought that Jaylen, I was like, why'd you shoot the ball so early? Because there was still, I think, 5 seconds left when he shot the there was 6 seconds left on the game clock. There were 3 on the shot clock. So I'm like, he could have like taken his time a little bit, but yeah. That gave Golden State the Tom Wiggins got the ball through a perfect pass to Poole and he hit that 3, but that changed momentum because you were killing it that quarter.
And then they immediately opened the fourth quarter on a 7-0 run. So suddenly you take that's a 10-point swing after Boston had kind of stolen momentum and think maybe they could steal the whole game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm curious. Do you think it's going to go back to Golden State? You think we get in game 7, TJ?
Well, I think if everything happens, you know, what we just talked about, if these bench players step up and do that Boston Celtic thing that we've seen throughout the years of Celtic championship teams, then they should. Especially, again, I mean, well, the problem is you're not going to have another game where Steph doesn't hit a 3. So that game was there for the taking, and that was the game that you pray about. Like, please, Lord, let me get a game where Steph's off. And unfortunately, Andrew Wiggins was not part of the prayer and did not get the memo for him to stand back a little bit.
You guys surprised at the Wiggins step up here the last couple of games?
Yeah, personally, I am.
I'm not.
I've always thought he was a talented player, but it's just a perception to me. He seems a little mentally weak. I don't know what it was, and obviously I've been wrong about that because he's been incredible in these last 2 games. But to me, he just seemed like a player that would fold when it mattered, and he's proven to be the opposite, which is obviously a huge surprise pleasant surprise for the Warrior fans.
So I feel like that was probably like just some weird like perception of this kid because, you know, you have your vocal guys like Draymond, right? And that guy is always, you know, going to be in the forefront of your mind. But Wiggins doesn't talk. He's not a loud guy. He's not a boisterous guy. He bodies people and, you know, might meme mug him, but he'll run back down the court. And again, the other thing about Wiggins is it doesn't surprise me because, again, he's not the top guy on the marquee. So if you have a guy who's got that much talent, but doesn't have to be your star, that's dangerous, man. That's because how do you match up with that if you're another team? It's really hard to.
Also, you think about the narrative coming into this year about Wiggins was he was unvaccinated.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we were all focused on because of the Kyrie Irving situation. So a couple other players out there who were so, you know, kind of vocal about not.
But then he did get vaccinated. So
right, he did. And so, you know, that kind of shifted. And then all of a sudden he's an all-star starter because, you know, fan votes count a lot. And then he's really stepped up. I mean, what did we say? 29 rebounds in the last 2 games.
That part, guys, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chris.
Obviously,
when you said, were you surprised about Wiggins? And I said, no, I think that part was. He was out there like he was Moses Malone last game. Man.
I believe that I saw a clip where before game 5, His all-time career high of rebounds in a game was I believe 11.
And he's had it the last 2 games?
Yeah, and so I was listening to Draymond's podcast and he was saying that Draymond after that game 5, Draymond and Steph kind of clowned him in the locker room because of the fact that he's never had more than 11 rebounds in his career and he's a 6'8" guy with 45-inch vertical it looks like. So they kind of clowned him for that but also congratulated him on the fact that the 2 games to have his high career rebounding games were games 5 and 6 of the or games 4 and 5 of the finals.
He made 29 rebounds these last 2 games. That's crazy. That's massive.
Also, someone who stepped up. We had his dad on last week on the big show and wondered why he wasn't getting enough playing time. I mean, Gary Payton II, 15 points in game 5 in 26 minutes, knocked down 6 of 8 shots, and he was a +6.
3 steals also.
Yeah, I mean that's something you can't. You know, you can't really duplicate that if you're getting that type of production. It's going to be tough for you to win. I mean, Golden State had 31 bench points, you know.
And that's what the Celtics need to have happen. Yeah. They need those guys to stand up, step up.
Well, I mean, I'm going to cross my fingers and say my prayers and eat my vitamins and drink my milk like Hulk Hogan. And,
brother.
Hope that we can get – that's Macho Man.
I know, but –
hope that we can get a game 7. I'm not –
Are you really, like, explaining wrestling to me?
Just saying, you did a Macho Man, and I was talking about Hulk Hogan.
But Hogan and Macho Man are usually, like, they're the mega powers, brother. They're always linked together.
They let a woman bring them apart.
That, much like most men.
R.I.P. Miss Elizabeth. Where do we want to go from here? I mean, I think we covered Game 5. We covered what's going to happen. Do we want to talk about this insane Clay video?
Talk about Big Dawes
TV? The Clay impersonator. Adam, you set this up because I kind of just saw the story of, we've heard about the Clay guy. We've seen some clips from him in the last couple of years. We fooled security driving into the old arena. Now they have the new Chase Center. And it seems like he got them again.
Oh, yeah.
And then
two.
Gets banned. But that's not really the full story.
Well, yeah. So the guy's name is his YouTube name is Big Dawes TV.
Okay.
And he has a huge YouTube following. It's like over 8 million subscribers. So he's pretty famous in his own right.
Right.
And so.
But he looks like Klay Thompson.
He looks like Klay Thompson. He's apparently 6'5". So he's got the same height as Klay Thompson. And he snuck into Oracle Arena maybe 3 or 4 years ago and was able to drive into the garage.
And he sits behind the bench and all this stuff wearing like a full uniform.
He's kind of become a folk hero in the Bay Area. He gets recognized not only for his YouTube channel, but just the fact that he's the fake Klay guy.
Right.
He's kind of become a meme up there.
Right.
And so the other day, the fake Klay, first of all, he gets the barber to come to his hotel.
To like kind of do it up.
Yeah, he needs the goatee lined up.
Yeah.
And then the next day he goes to the arena. The best part is you guys have to watch this video if you haven't seen it. He goes into the cab. And the guy, I don't know where he's from. He's a foreigner though, but he thinks it's Klay. And I wrote it down. He goes, "Oh, you're the guy who gets 3 points. Oh my God, I like you." and so he took a picture, and then Klay gave him an autograph, and it just looks like a fourth grader signed it. He saw it. It just said Klay, the most generic Klay. And he goes to the arena, and he doesn't specifically say. I don't want to spoil everything, but he doesn't specifically say that he's Klay Thompson when he goes in there.
No, the security and the on hand, they just assume that it's him because it looks like him and he's a big guy. If we walked in there, obviously we're 6 feet tall, we're short.
Yeah, so they'd be like, "Who the hell are
you?" Yeah, what are you doing here?
He looks like him and he's 6'5". The thing that would have made me question it as a security guard, though, is the fact that the fake Klay was wearing his full uniform walking into the arena. I don't see any players ever wearing a fake or their full uniform going into the arena. They're usually wearing a suit or something, but he just happened to wear the whole uniform, headband included. they didn't think anything of it.
No,
though.
The whole thing
See, that's why I find this whole thing like so ridiculous. Like, how are people? I mean, I know people.
How are people
dumb,
this gullible?
How are you this dumb? Like, the dude's walking around in a uniform, bro. Like, that's why I couldn't even like. I couldn't because I've seen these videos before over
course,
the years. It's happened hundreds of times, and I just was like, I can't because I just how are you so stupid?
Well, it's not only the security, but it's the people, it's the fans that were out on the streets. You'll see later. He's just walking around the city, and people think Klay is just casually walking around the streets.
Hours before game five.
In his full uniform and just asking for autographs. It's so absurd how people can be tricked in this world. We don't realize how dumb some people in.
I also think what I really love is just the bit of this guy, Big Dawes, signing, like autographing stuff for people and doing it in elementary school block letters. Like, and then people look at it, they're like, "Yeah, Klay." Like, they didn't realize the real Klay Thompson has this terrible signature of just block letters. It might as well be in crayon.
Also, have you watched any playoff game this year? Klay Thompson has an afro.
He has like an afro.
This dude don't got an afro, man.
Well, he's got the hood over. He's wearing a hoodie the whole
true.
Time.
He's got the hood up.
Yeah. But the fact that he's just walking around in his game shoes.
He has no change of shoes. He just wears his game shoes on the street.
It's really, really funny. And the fact
I don't even do that. Okay, I got shoes that I will only wear to the show that I will only put on once I'm sitting here. I don't want them to touch the ground. This guy's walking around in his game shoes. I can't buy it. I just can't buy it.
It's also so funny to me how serious the Warriors take this. Like, they're not having fun with it and embracing this guy. Like, they should really take this guy into their community and kind of like VIP him, really. You want him to be a kind of a mascot for your team.
Absolutely.
And they're in here banning him for life from the arena.
You guys have heard about the Chicago Cubs Billy Goat curse, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole curse of the Cubs is they banned a guy who brought
his goat
into Wrigley Field. there could potentially be, if Big Dawes wants this to be, this could be a Big Dawes Golden State Warriors curse.
This is my only hope for the Celtics winning in seven right now, a Big Dawes curse. But, like, he paid 10 grand for some, like, really ridiculous seats behind the bench that now they're not refunding because they're trying to claim it was a season ticket transfer. This whole thing is just a bad look for the Warriors.
Oh, and it's terrible.
Yes, Adam, I am totally on board now with this being a curse and a hex on the franchise here for the rest of the finals.
But there's no goat. What are they going to ban? Headbands? Like, what's going to be the symbol?
Headbands, the symbol. Chin strap beards, yeah, like all of it.
By the way, this guy really don't even look that much like Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I think he looks like him.
I think he looks enough.
He looks enough like him.
Enough to fool, you know, kind of just security who are just like.
Look, let's call it. He looks enough like him to fool people that go, oh, you look alike. Like, that's the, you know, let's just come. You can't say it. I'm going to say it. That's who he looks enough like.
Well, Clay's light skin.
But still, though. Still.
I also loved how they interviewed Big Dawes afterwards, and they asked him if it was worth it to be banned for life, and he goes, I was an NBA player for 15 minutes. Absolutely, it was worth it. I got to go on the court and shoot around.
He literally strolls onto the court and is just like, warming up.
Now, you see in the video, he just shoots baskets for 15 minutes
and
on the court.
That's my problem. Now, I had a similar situation happen to me. What year was this, Brotman? 18, 19 in Dallas?
Oh, yeah. This is at 18 at the NFL draft.
18 NFL draft. Now, we did our show from...
You're just dying to tell this story in front of a microphone.
Well, we do our show from a suite in AT&T Stadium. It was amazing. We did three shows there or two shows there? I forget. Two or three. So after the one day, you know, me being the Cowboy fan, when I tell you that I went through every inch of AT&T Stadium. Like, I'm talking, I went to the very last row, the very top of the stadium. I was down through the bowels. I mean, I'm digging in the guts of AT&T Stadium. The only place I didn't go in was the Cowboys locker room because it was locked. So it was like a 2.5 hours, Adam, that I did this.
You tried.
I went everywhere, just wherever I could walk. So the next day is the draft. Draft happens. We have credentials, but our credentials are only good for, I guess, Area A. Brockman, Del Tufo, and I decide we're just going to walk because we walked this route the day before. We just kept walking. Nobody stopped us. We ended up on the field where they're doing the draft. Eventually,
we basically could have touched the stadium, the stage.
Oh,
we
were, by the way, I was by the stage because
we were so close.
I jumped into every fan base while their pick was getting announced, and I was Instagram living it. I was interviewing fans. I got up to pick 10, and then I got thrown out. A lady who gave us our badges saw me and came over to me and was like, what are you doing here? Called security on me and had me removed, and I wasn't doing anything. But to me, it's like, how's this? Like, I didn't do anything. I just walked. Nobody stopped us. Nobody checked our badges. Right. We just literally walked down and got right here. Like, you know,
it's amazing what you can get away with if you just look like you belong and
have
confidence in your walk.
Just act like you're supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. And which it worked for us for about 45 minutes. Until
we were great. We were drinking beers on the thing. We were next to one of the big, gigantic jib cameras. Like, the NFL Network stage was.
We were
like,
literally right underneath Rich.
I was texting Rich during the Sam Darnold pick. We were just right there.
And Adam, we literally, like,
TJ,
they were up
went,
here
went and had to Rich make eye contact and got us kicked out.
Yeah, the lady was just like, and then security came over, and I think security had seen us. They
well,
saw
they
we
looked
were
at
doing
our,
anything.
And they're like, yeah, your credential isn't what you guys
And they didn't want to throw me out, but this lady just kept mean mugging me. So they're like, and the guy called like three other guards over, and they all were like, oh, sorry, man. So.
And then the Cowboys took Leighton Vander Esch, and TJ was so pissed.
I did lose my mind over that.
Instead of who did you want to take?
I thought Calvin Ridley was the
Calvin
move.
Ridley, yeah. That's right, who's not playing next year.
Do the Warriors fire their security guards for this or no?
All of those. So if anybody from the Warriors front office or executives or head of team personnel security, if they actually watch the video, and you can even watch the raw footage, this guy should definitely sue the Warriors. They cannot ban him for life.
Yeah, that's a little
ridiculous.
It's
all of their fault. They didn't ask him once to see ID.
No.
They didn't even ask, what are you doing here? What is your name? Because then if he would have lied and said Klay Thompson, then yes,
it's a lie.
They could get him for impersonating whatever.
A player,
an employee. But he doesn't say anything. They just let him go, and he goes, you even see it on the video. He goes, what the? Like, what? I can't believe we made it.
We'll come to the conclusion. Free Big Dawes.
Yeah, Free Big Dawes.
Free Big Dawes.
I hope the security doesn't get fired either, because she was, yeah, she was a nice lady.
I don't want anybody to get fired over this.
I don't want anybody to get fired, but I want Big Dawes to, like, have the ban lifted.
Yeah.
Like,
Free Big Dawes. That's
I mean, if you have to ban him for the rest of the playoffs, fine. But,
yeah,
like,
one
a
more
lifetime,
game, so we can't go to game seven.
A lifetime ban, though, man, that's pretty rough, considering no one got hurt. You know, it wasn't like a security rap. I bet you the lady who ran and tried to super glue herself on the court didn't even get a lifetime ban from the T-Wolves. And Big Dawes got a... Now, I wasn't mad at him, but as you can see him on my voice.
Now you're mad.
Now I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about I could be Big Dawes, because you think I wouldn't jump on the court if I was allowed to? Come on, Free Big Dawes, man.
And that leads me to my next question, boys. If you could impersonate any player, who do you guys most likely resemble? Who do you most resemble that you could sneak on to a playing surface and pretend to be that person? Because I had two growing up.
Who were your two?
So in high school, I looked like Trent Dilfer, because I had this huge goatee. Like in college, I had this huge goatee, and it was right around when the Ravens made the Super Bowl when he was quarterback. And so I got a lot of Dilfer, but I'm not. Dilfer's 6'5". I'm not. Spoiler alert, not 6'5". I'm barely 6 feet tall. So, and then Matt Hasselbeck, I also used to get that I looked like Matt Hasselbeck when I was.
I could see that.
When I was clean shaven. I mean, look, it's really just shout out bald white guys.
I mean, I've never really thought I've looked too much like an athlete, but for years I've gotten. But this was before I shaved my head. Before I shaved my head, for years I got that I looked like the kid from the Goldbergs.
Oh, okay. Barry?
Yeah, Barry. Yeah, Barry. Barry. I would go to the Comedy Store sometimes, and people would actually think it was Barry.
Bro,
from the Goldbergs.
I never thought about that till, because I love the Goldbergs. I could kind of see you being like,
especially when I had more hair.
And your hair was curly too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had similar hair as him. So I don't know about an athlete. I'm trying to think.
I've also gotten when I was younger, I got Andre Agassi when he had the shaved head and the goatee little bit, and then an actor. When I moved out here, I lost a bunch. I lost like 20 pounds, and someone thought I was skinny Will Sasso.
Will Sasso could never get that skinny, bro.
Yeah, I was gonna say I did
my friend's play once, and they're like, "You got Will Sasso to do your play?" And I'm like, "I'm not Will Sasso, but thank you."
I never really thought I looked like anybody, but I remember back in high school.
But you're big enough to get confused for like a lineman, NFL player.
That's happened. But I remember back in like junior high. I used to wear goggles, I still had my glasses when I played basketball. Remember Rec Specs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course, Horace Grant.
John Sally wore Rec Specs.
Well, okay, so Rec Specs, but these weren't Rec Specs. These were like little neoprene things that you put at the edge of your glasses, and they'd hold them in place.
Okay.
So they weren't quite Rec Specs, but they were like little things that would hold your glasses.
Almost like a strap that kind of went all the way around.
So my buddy Dougie Pfeffer, who I told you guys, he is now the head ball coach at Altoona High, he used to always call me James Worthy. And he used to always say I had like a James Worthy look, where I would just kind of look like, I don't know, James Worthy kind of has like puppy dog eyes, I guess the best way to describe, not puppy dog, that seems weird, but like I looked like James Worthy back in the day, and I would always do this look. I give my friends this look with the glasses on. They'd be like, "Oh, it's Worthy." So, but yeah, I was like 13 at that point. So,
I mean, not like as an adult.
Yeah, not as an adult. I don't know. There ain't very many like 6'3", 260-pound basketball players. You know, so I'd probably have to go more to the football side.
Yeah.
But yeah, basketball, it's tough, man. I guess any brother with dreadlocks, I could probably pull off. You know?
Who had dreads back in the day in the NBA?
Just Brian Grant.
Brian Grant.
Oh, yeah. He was the first.
He was kind of the first one.
Yeah.
Who could you go now? Maybe
Time Lord, maybe, but he's 6'10". So
what about Montrezl Harrell?
Montrez is also like 6'10".
Montrez also has a little trouble with the pokey.
Yeah,
right,
man. Forget Big Dawes, free Montrez.
Free Montrez.
That's the other thing. Yeah, it's hard to say, man, because here's a funny story. I used to work security way back when I was still in college for Three Rivers Stadium, right?
Yeah.
When the Pirates were there. There's a player, I swear I may have told this. There's a player named Alex Cole. He used to play outfield for the Pirates. So basically at security, what we would do is after the game was over, we'd wait for the players to come out. We'd walk them from the locker room through the parking lot to their cars or to the buses. Then we'd go back in and we'd get our stuff and we'd leave. So one day I come out, I've got a bag on, I got a toothpick in for whatever reason. I got a hat pulled down that was like a cowboy's hat or something. And I come walking out, and I hear these kids saying something, but I don't know what they're saying. And my buddy Sean grabs me around the shoulder. He's like, no kids, no kids. Mr. Cole's not signing autographs today. And I remember this kid was like, hey, and he put out like a card and a pen to me. And I thought he was being trying to be funny. I was like, nah. I just waved them off.
Oh,
and then we got to the car.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was like, what was that about? They were like, they thought you were Alex Cole. I was like, oh, man.
And now they think Alex Cole is the biggest jerk in the world.
Biggest jerk ever.
I thought this kid was trying to be a goofball to me. So I was like, ah, whatever. Not nah, being a kid.
Well, I'm trying to Google Alex Cole real quick.
And by the way, me and Alex Cole don't look alike. But for whatever reason, these kids thought that.
By the way, great point by Smitch at home right now. If James Harden keeps eating like he does, he might look like you.
Okay, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. James Harden's got to put on a few extra pounds.
He got the beard, though. The beard looks good.
Well,
All right, let's finish this up, guys. Do we get game seven or not? Adam Chudwin.
I believe we do. I think game seven will happen on Sunday. Celtics get the role players back to where they were before. Derek White has 15 or 20 points. Pritchard has a couple big threes. And Grant Williams finally wakes up and has a couple big shots. So I do believe that there will be a game seven.
TJ?
I'm going to say something wild just out there. And if it comes to fruition, then I'll look smart. And if not, no one's going to remember anyway. Two words for you. Peyton Pritchard. 4 3-pointers next game. He's going to be the star. I'm just calling it right now.
Chris, if there's a game seven, do you go? Sunday.
It's Father's Day. I would say.
Yeah, but Cage, let me explain something to you. Cage doesn't know what day of the week it is. Yeah. He doesn't know it's Father's Day. So here's what we do. We call up John Sally, get the PJ going, go to the game. That's a Father's Day treat.
Sarah did ask me, hey, do you want to do anything special for Father's Day? And I was like, I don't think so. So do I just say, yeah, you can get me tickets to game seven?
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, me just and John, something. Me, John Sally are heading up to San Fran.
John Sally, oh, man. Should I just look? It's not even worth it, is it?
It's always worth it.
Day trip up to San Francisco for
it's
game seven.
Especially because it's a Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. All right, people. Next time, next week.
What do you think?
What am I supposed to say?
No, just give your honest opinion.
There's only one right answer right here.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't. I don't think they're going to win. I think the Warriors are going to win the title.
That was not the answer I thought.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm just snake bit from the last two games. I'm just so befuddled about how dumb they've been playing. So, you know, maybe they get it together. Yeah. Maybe the crowd kind of wills them to, you know, maybe Tatum has a 40-point game, you know, something like that. Reminiscent of that epic Paul Pierce, LeBron James game seven battle from back in the day. And, you know, maybe Jaylen Brown does it. Something crazy happens and Pritchard has 4 threes and Derek White has 3. And, you know, they can win and force a game seven. But I'm just kind of in the dump still. So I need to be convinced. I need to see it. You know, kind of like we've been talking about the Broncos. I need to see it. But I'm hoping. Got to get the pride. Okay, so when we see you next week, we will know who the NBA champion is. And we will start to turn the page on the season. We'll look back at some of our favorite moments, and we'll talk about the NBA draft coming up.
And we could also talk about hustle and explain how the Sixers
again. Oh, talk about hustle.
Have ruined another.
Okay, so here's the deal, people. Watch Hustle on Netflix with Adam Sandler between now and next week so you guys can follow along what they're talking about, because I don't know about you guys, but I love that movie. It was awesome. I had such a great time. It's worth a two-hour watch just for the cameos. And the NBA and the basketball action. If you love hoop, you're going to love Hustle. So we'll talk about that next week as well. NBA draft, some Hustle. We'll get ready to turn the page on this season, which has been awesome. This has been such a great NBA season.
No doubt.
And it's coming down to the final two games. Fingers crossed. All right, we'll see you next week. Adam, TJ, peace out.
Later.
Peace.